cooking had always been my safe place. I mean, I would cook for my roommates. I would cook for my family. That was my stress reliever. And right. So falling into that warmth, just, you know, that first time you're standing next to the grill and you just feel that warmth just run through you, you know, it's an addictive feeling.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just realized I wanted to start chasing that more.
Welcome to the Austin All Day Podcast, Chef Allie.
Thank you for having me.
It has been a hot minute since I've actually seen you face to face. How have you been?
I've been good. Yeah. Good. Lots of life since then.
What? So ATX Cocina is the gem. As soon as I start this, it's always... Sorry, I'm getting blown up.
It's ridiculous. It's all good. That's normal.
What's funny is who I'm getting blown up by is the guy who usually joins us, who knows that there's a podcast at 9:30. He's like, great. Start going now.
You know what? He just wants to join however
right,
he can.
Right. You know? So you've been at ATX Cocina for a long time.
Yeah, no, I was there when opened it up with Kevin Taylor.
Okay.
Matt Creekmore. We all opened that lovely little gem together. Was there for about 3 years, took a slight little sabbatical, stepped away a little bit, had a lot of real life come at me pretty fast. And I was like, you know what? It's better to just take my time.
Yeah.
Ease back into it.
So. Sure. Well, that's a good approach.
Yeah.
Smart, right?
Boundaries, learning boundaries.
Boundaries. So you guys opened before the pandemic was ever even a thing.
Oh, yeah. No. We opened July of 2017.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Time flies.
Yeah, we turned 5 in July. It was crazy.
That's great. And that's like the coolest location, right?
Because yeah.
If you're visiting or if you like, you're going to drive directly by it.
Right. It's like in the heart of the Second Street District. It's where everybody likes to kind of hobnob, where the hotels have really started to take off.
Like big time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really remember when they broke ground on the library and I was like, this is crazy. Like, we've been on our own. Why do we like all this construction? And now it's like, okay, yeah, I thought that was intense.
Right. It has really, really come up. And there's a lot of cool like restaurants like right surrounding you within like walking distance. There's there's the North, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. There's North Italia that's to our left. We have the local, which just kind of opened. Yeah, local foods. Yeah, they just
like that?
They're great. I think they're a great little option. I mean, it's really nice. They're kind of the new kids on the block, and they're still getting their footing. But
I know the chef over there.
Yeah, they're great people. They're sweet, super sweet.
Like a healthy option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody goes to Flower Child, and
I compared those two a little bit, right?
Yeah, they're similar, I think, in what they offer and what they're clientele base,
right,
you know, kind of that health conscious approach.
Yeah.
Fast health conscious approach.
That's what everyone's looking for.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody.
It definitely is. I mean, there's so many, there's like Deloitte and Google. There's so many office buildings that are there that have come back to, you know, people being back in the office. So they're looking for that very fast, healthy option.
Yeah.
And with most of us being fine dining, we only open at 5. So they're like, hey.
So that's still the case. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So still evening dinner hours. And you just said fine dining. Is that how you would classify it? Give people a rundown of ATX Cocina.
ATX Cocina, we're going to be elevated. I definitely would consider us elevated in that aspect. We want you to be able to have a good time and come in not just for special occasions, but we do take a lot of pride. There's a lot of steps of service. So I would put us in that upper fine dining scene.
Yeah.
Especially for a Mexican restaurant, as everybody unfortunately still thinks all Mexican is Tex-Mex.
Okay. So this is like a hurdle you guys are facing?
I think it's a constant hurdle, especially being in Texas. Everybody who travels here, especially a lot of the newcomers
from
California, everybody thinks that Mexican food is just Tex-Mex, and that's just not the case. I think there's a much broader scope that people miss just, you know, from the stereotypes and whatnot.
Sure. Like everyone thinks Chewy's.
Yeah. Or, Mahdi's. No, nothing against them.
No, nothing against them.
I was like, don't get me wrong. I'll get down on some Matzal Ranch anytime.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
We definitely.
That is a popping spot.
Oh my gosh. If you want to see some people move through a place, I mean, just right. people watching,
yeah.
just sit there with the margarita and just watch.
It's insane. It's yeah. insane. But there's some really heavy hitters in that arena as far as like some elevated
yeah.
Mexican cuisine here. I mean, like you've got Comodoro. Mm-hmm. Right, who yeah. is some other Nixta has gotten a lot of attention yeah. lately. Suerte,
yeah.
You guys are there? Yeah, I would really love to talk to him. What are some other ones? Because like people, there are. This is a thing.
Yeah,
I think breaking that stereotype because it's amazing what's yeah, happening.
100%. I think Austin, in a lot of ways, was behind in the food scene, and I think in the last 6-7 years. They have sprinted way ahead above a lot of cities where we didn't have Italian restaurants. And then we had that huge,
yes.
you know, resurgence about 6 years ago of like all of the, I mean, it was just Vespaio for so long. They right. they cornered that market and Austin sprinted ahead and you had Al Bruto, you had Red Ash, you have all of these wonderful institutions now that are in-house because of that. And I think Mexican food definitely took that leap probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Everybody kind of was just like, you know what? Like, why not? I mean, La Condesa was the...
That's right.
No. Yeah. They were the place if you wanted Mexican food for a very long time.
Right.
And I think everybody was like, you know what? A lot of us who are in these restaurants actually did a residency, so yeah. to speak, at Condesa. We all paid our dues.
Okay.
So yeah, now I think all of us were like, you know what, we found that hole and we're just like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's funny because you said it's like unfortunate this, like everybody thinks about Mexican cuisine this way, but also it's like you can't fault them because like street tacos,
yeah.
like there's like this amazing part of it where like
yeah.
everybody, well, if you know, there's like that food truck that like no
oh, yeah.
branding or awful branding, but like, you're like, yeah, but that's the best food yes. you're going to eat.
Sketch, completely sketch, but right. there's a line going around it right. twice over. Yeah.
Right. But it's kind of like bringing that into like a more elevated experience.
Yeah. I think it's not about changing anything. It's just about broadening the scope.
Yeah. I like
really.
That.
I mean, there's so many good friends of mine that are chefs. I mean, we call ourselves trash pandas. I mean, yes, we like the really nice
trash panda.
yeah, we'll put all of the really good things in front of us. Everybody thinks, oh, you're a chef, you eat great. It was like, no, I'm happy with the Lunchable or
right,
you know
right,
some
right.
Kraft mac and cheese. You know, it's a balance. You can't always eat the way that you prepare for other people.
I mean, totally true, right?
Yeah, it's the hours, but no, it's about bringing that nostalgia back into your cooking. I mean, there's so many things that are important in street food that, you know, we've kind of crossed into and brought a little bit onto the menu.
Right.
Just to make it, you know, it doesn't have to be always fancy schmancy. It can just be really good food done really well.
Yes.
You know, sometimes simplicity wins.
I mean, I think that's like my favorite, right?
Yeah.
Really good food. Like even if it's simple, but they have to say simple done right is like the hardest thing to achieve.
Yeah, and then consistency, you know, just keeping that standard all the way across. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the biggest hurdle that, you know, chefs face.
Right.
You know, you can do it yourself all day long, but then you have burnout and, you know, you have to trust your team and train
yeah.
your team to do it.
You absolutely have that. Yeah. I want to get into a couple things because you're talking about the burnout, but I want to dip into that. But first you said the, you know, like, we're just starting to see this like sprinting ahead within like the, I've been here for like a decade.
Yeah.
And I remember coming here and I was like, I thought this was just supposed to be this great food
yeah.
town. And I'm not like, I wasn't talking bad about it, but like, I was like, I came from Chicago when I was
everything.
Just, well, there's everything. Yeah. But like, I was like, wait a minute. And I just didn't realize, but like, you're right. There was no Italian, but like, look at the pizza scene. What's happened here within like the last 5-10 years.
100%. We've seen a lot of places come and go. Yeah, but I same thing. Like when I moved to Austin, I was like, "Oh my God, this is gonna be great. This is everything." Like,
where's the food?
And I mean, and when I moved to Austin, I came straight from Houston, so I mean, there was everything
Houston
at your fingertips. Yeah. I remember
it's so much different, right?
Yeah,
it's There is everything, but it's everywhere.
It takes 2 hours to get to the thing that you want.
Where here, you can kind of get everything, and it's accessible because it's you can get all it to every corner of Austin within
45 minutes.
Right, especially without traffic. Like you can shoot up north to the Domain or something at like 11 in the clock in the morning and no problem.
Yeah.
And then over to the east side. But like Houston, no, not happening.
Not at all. I mean, I remember having to move from like one restaurant to the other. You know, we got shared in that group and it was like, hey, yeah, go ahead. I was based out of Memorial and they're like, yeah, head up to Washington. And I'm like, I'll see you in 2.5 hours, right. Guys.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But the flip side is that they have so much good food out there. So we're starting to see a lot more of that, right?
I mean, think we've had a lot of newcomers come into the scene, you know, bigger names from other cities in the U.S. And
well, you've got the ABBA, the mm-hmm. Let Us Entertain You group.
Yeah.
I mean, that could start a whole thing here. You know?
That is a huge thing. I mean, they are moving. They do not play around.
Right. Have you been over there?
I have been to ABBA.
Yes.
I'm actually very fortunate to have a fantastic manager decide to join our team from them. And
awesome.
Yeah, no, he has nothing but great things to say about it, but 100%, like, you can see those larger groups where it's an entire manual, just to read through before you can even, you know, start saying hi on the floor.
Right.
A lot of those are coming into town, which is great. It's going to shape the scene a lot. It's going to change a lot up as well for many different sides of the houses. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it will stir up the waters, but I think there's nice to have some like uniformity, like to some business, like, because you can like be this rogue chef doing your thing, but like there's nice to have some structure and like a growth plan, because they're all over the U.S. some of these places, right?
Yeah, stability the retirement job some people use.
A lot of people aren't thinking about that sometimes.
No, man. I mean, man, cooking, that's a young man's game. It is very much so.
So when did you first get into cooking? And you said you came from Houston. Where did you grow up there?
No. So I grew up in close to San Antonio, Schertz, Texas, New Braunfels, that area.
So you've always been in this kind of area.
Yeah. No, it was great. Definitely wasn't thinking cooking when I started out, but it's been a great and rewarding ride. I'm glad I did it. I mean, I think everybody falls into cooking the same way. You know, we all have like that undiagnosed ADHD. You need constant stimulation.
Yes.
I remember I had a chef who I was serving. You know, I started out front of house. And I was just like, hey, can I ring in a salad? And pardon my French. He's like, go fucking make it yourself. Right. I was like, and then I was back there. I was like, okay. He's like, while you're back there, make two more. And I was like, okay. Right. You know?
And then just, you were just back there. He was like, but did you get a net? Were you like, I like this?
Yeah, no. It was a slow approach for me. You know, I was working my way through school. So it was just one of those things where it fed that need for adrenaline. I mean, there was constantly things flying at you and things that needed to be fixed. And for my personality, that just really worked. There was always a puzzle, you know, to figure out. And it just evolved from there. You know, went through school, like worked my way through different kitchens, worked my way up through the ranks.
Okay.
But yeah, I know many, many different kitchens, many different mentors.
So at what point when you, like from your first salad, did you decide, maybe I kind of want to look at this as like a career?
Oh man, I think it was... I was already facing a lot of challenges, you know, academically. It was just I had reached a point where I didn't think I could push through that wall. And cooking had always been
academia.
You know, I wanted to go in the medical field.
Okay.
And yeah, the brain part of it is there for me. That's not a problem. But there was no stimuli for...
So the ADHD.
Yeah, the ADHD came pretty bad. There was just no... It wasn't bringing happiness. And even when I visualized myself in the role that I wanted and that I was working towards, it just didn't click. Like, I knew it would make my family happy. And that had always been my goal. It was like, just go, 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 go. Goal-oriented. Right. That's, you know, how I've been. But it just wasn't fulfilling. And cooking had always been my safe place. I mean... I would cook for my roommates. I would cook for my family. That was my stress reliever. And right. So falling into that warmth, just, you know, that first time you're standing next to the grill and you just feel that warmth just run through you, you know, it's an addictive feeling.
Yeah.
And I just realized I wanted to start chasing that more.
I like that. I like that. But, you know, we had one of our last guests was talking about when he was in high school, he had like ADHD. He was not good in school though. Mm-hmm. But then they actually presented him with the opportunity to go to culinary school in high school. And I thought how wise that approach is, because how many kids are lost in school are like, this is not for me. Like, and then they get that opportunity because I think, I don't know what the percentage would be. A lot of those people are going to end up in the back of a house somewhere. Like, this is my playground, you know?
Yeah. I forgot. I have a great, really good friend. You know, she did the math on a lot of that. And, I think having that opportunity, those trade school opportunities are so valuable for youth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like the high school that I went to wasn't geared for that. They were trying to send you into Ivy Leagues.
Right. Just,
well, that was their goal path.
That's not a bad one, though.
No, not at all. But I think that having those opportunities early on are going to help you give a better rounded approach. I mean, you spend so much time, you know, in college trying to figure out what you want to be, and you think you know what you want to be, and then, I mean, I'd say 8 times out of 10 at minimum, you end up switching. How many times you switch your major, you switch your career, you decide to go in a completely different path.
I mean, they say your brain's not even actually fully formed, like literally. So like, it's no surprise that we're deciding what you want to do for the rest of your life before like you're even fully grown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you look at a college kid now, it's a kid.
Yeah.
It's a kid. It's like, how do you know? I mean, some of these kids, you know.
I think there's a good balance, but I mean, I look back at, you know, coming through. I mean, I was the young kid for so long in this industry. I was, you know, the youngest Sue on the team or the youngest manager on the team for so long. And I think about that. It was like, yes, I think you can have a divide and you can push and want more for yourself. But at the same time, I think about it. It was like, man, I was really dumb.
to jump in at a young age.
So young, and to be the responsibility that you hold, you know, not looking back at it now, I'm like, who they trusted a 22-year-old with that, with a $7 million restaurant. Yikes. You know, you're like, wow.
So in that position, younger, and like, did you find any like hurdles with your like peers? Like,
I think yes. Especially at the level of cooking that I was pushing myself towards and going through. Yeah, I mean, it is cutthroat.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because there's a lot of like...
It's nasty.
Yeah.
Really nasty, especially in like the nicer kitchens.
Right.
There's so few. I think everybody also does have a complex too. Like all of us are looking for validation.
Sure, yeah.
And so you have so many people who need that validation or are wanting to succeed and need that approval. And you have so many soldiers, but only so many leaders that can give that approval. And I think it just makes it that much harder to stand out in the crowd. And so people push harder.
Right.
And sometimes it's not...
I mean, that can create toxic atmosphere.
100%. I think now so many of us who came through that and are on the other side and are in more of a leadership position now are trying to break those.
Those
traditions.
Yeah, I mean, I think for lack of a better word, like being an activist would be what's happening with a lot of people who saw a culinary industry a certain way and now are like, we have to break the mold here. And it's kind of, I mean, you just kind of do it though, I'm assuming. Like you're trying to do these things to give people a better experience or just like you're like, dude, we don't just continue this, like the brigade.
Yeah.
Seems antiquated, and then not antiquated, but it just seemed cutthroat, right?
Yeah,
it's about killing people, really. Right?
It's about making sure the best of the best make it through, and it's a rat race. Right. It really is. But I do think that everybody that comes into especially the culinary side, whether they admit it or not, they need structure, and the brigade system provided that structure. It gave sure. you the hierarchy. It gave you, excuse me, who you knew you were talking to, who you were going to report to. And that made it easier. That right. that gave a sense of calm.
Yeah.
And I think to an extent, we still need parts of that. Mm-hmm. You do need that hierarchy, but I don't think it needs to be as unforgiving.
Sure.
As it has been.
So how do you ideally look at that? Like the way maybe you're running your own kitchen or just what you want to see? What's a better system? Because you said you pick mm-hmm. and choose some things from that.
Yeah. I think rather than, you know, in a brigade, it's like, okay, you know, as a commie, you're just the grunt work.
Right.
You do all of that. But rather than just giving somebody 12 cases of carrots and say, peel, go to town, I'll see you in an hour, you know, showing that person what these turn into.
Sure.
Giving that person the full scope of things so they understand what their part in it is. And giving them that person that roundness is going to help them more in the long run. They're not just a cog in the machine anymore. They see what they're working to create. They see what their work is going to turn into. And even better so, you can push that person to follow that dish. I mean, you can start with a carrot, right? I mean, we turn carrots into two different things in our restaurant, you know, whether it's peeling them, shaving them for a salad, or roasting them. But if you show somebody what that work is going to turn into all the way around, they're more apt to want to follow that.
Sure.
And they're going to follow the fire. They're going to follow that and be excited about it.
Right.
And when you're excited about something, it comes across in totally. Your food every time. And if you can spark that joy in a cook, they're going to be happier. They're going to work better. They're going to have a better communication if something's wrong too. You're going to be able to read that a lot better. So it's better for me in the long run. I can see cross-training somebody all the way through on everything gives you a better microscope into that person too. They're more apt to open up too. Some people are shy,
right?
You know, but having seen their face light up because they're learning is a really great reward.
I mean,
something that you didn't get when I was coming up.
Sure.
You know?
Well, like just the visual of like, here's the carrots. You do that.
Yeah.
And come back in an hour. And then it's like, they don't matter.
Yeah.
It feels so like demoralizing in a way, but you're a prep cook.
Yeah.
Like come back. Wait, here's a case of onions. Goodbye. Yeah. But I really like what you're saying. And I think that like beyond just like where you're following the dish, like I think a lot of cooks, even chefs sometimes in a restaurant, like just, yeah, chefs, they don't even get the whole, like there's the experience when you come in as a customer too.
Yeah.
They're just like, this is an awesome place. And you're like, that would started with your carrot, remember?
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
And that's a great thing that I've always admired between Matt and Kevin. They have always wanted all of the staff, anybody who comes to join us, they want them to come and dine with us on the other side.
Yeah.
Experience everything cool. from the other side so they can see all the moving parts. Our kitchen is completely open. Like there is not a place outside cool. of the dish pit that you cannot see from any point in this restaurant. You can sit at the back bar and you can see all the way into our Masa Ladies pressing tortillas.
It's very cool.
You can sit at the front of the restaurant and you can see behind that wall into where the Masa Ladies are. There's nowhere to hide.
Right.
So anywhere in that restaurant, you can see so many different moving parts. And whether you're front of house or back of house, you know, front of house, you see the steps of execution. You see what it takes, what work goes into the education on our servers and bartender side of the product, of the dishes, where it comes from. You get that full sense of all of that as a customer, as coming in and seeing it from that side. And then from the food side, you can experience. I mean, yes, you can get the food guide and the glossary and you can work all through that, but until you taste it, it doesn't really click.
Right.
You know, so they're very, very adamant about that. You know, see it from the other side and then come in and you just have a different appreciation for it.
I mean, totally. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, I really like that. I didn't know that they do that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's kind of what I was like, there's like the whole, sometimes you just never even know.
Yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
We don't want that. I think the whole point of the kitchen being open was to invite you in. I mean, Kitchens everywhere are meant for community. It's just a common gathering place. It's the warmth. It's the heart of the house.
Right.
And so with the way the restaurant is, it's like, we want to invite you in. We want you to see what we're doing, you know? And it's the same. It's just a continuation of that.
Yeah, I don't want to get like too weird with this statement, but it's like, we live in this time where like we have like kitchens who are highlighting like a like it's just a luxury, it's fun, it's delicious, right? But really at the heart of it, like if let's just say if shit hit the fan in some crazy way, well, it happened during the pandemic.
Yeah, it did.
You know, like the kitchen turns into a place where we need to feed people about community. Like everybody was going everywhere for products and whatnot. And I think it's it. Like we don't think about it because it's all we've really known here, you know, and a lot, like hopefully we'd know this for years and years to come. But like these kitchens are amazing, right? It's like so, it's so cool. It's like it's, each one's, it's like a movie theater. It's all like its own entertainment establishment.
Yeah.
And like, it's a very cool luxury to have, you know, because it is it's utilitarian at the end of the day. We're just having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
But that's like a very random, sorry.
No.
It's kind of like, you got to appreciate it. But I like what they're doing because you're right. It is an experience in that level of pride when you see, well, this is what it's like in the dining room. This is what this is like to get served this dish and like that experience. Because a lot of people in it, they don't have money to go eat at some of the places they're actually preparing food for.
Yeah.
So like knowing what it's actually the end result is, there's so much more pride. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember coming up, I mean, we make jokes. It's like all of my money went to either cookbooks or trying to afford to go somewhere that I wanted to try.
Yeah. But I like that. Like, I like that approach that I think you have to be intrigued and excited to want to go spend your money on food. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Like, if you want to go...
It is a luxury. It's not a just luxury. A necessity, but at that level, it's a luxury.
Like, you can go to Chewy's, right? And you can spend, whatever, $30 for some drinks and some meals, right? But, like, if you want a real experience, like, I'm sure... Do you have a tasting menu there?
We don't. We don't do a tasting menu there, but we do walk people through. So if there is something, our servers are more than welcome to curate that.
I like that.
And many of them do. When people, guests come in, especially if they're used to us, say, we know their likes, dislikes.
And, oh, really? And, you've got regulars like that?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, we've been open for 5 years. Yeah. We keep very detailed notes on all of our customers.
That's awesome.
And we've had very little turnover. So a lot of our senior servers have seen guests from the beginning.
I mean, that's also awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome. But people will ask, they'll be like, all right, you know, they'll come in with a group. They'll be like, this is what we like. These are our allergies. What would you suggest? And it's like, we'll ask it was like, do you trust us to curate your experience?
Right.
Our servers will come up to us on the pass and they'll be like, hey, this is what I was thinking for them. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this or suggest otherwise on? And I mean, our servers take the reins on that. They do custom tastings with our mezcals, with our tequilas.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the knowledge and some of them are very, very passionate about that. So if another server who's passionate about mezcals in a different section, I mean, there's really no animosity. They'll ask for help. Some of the servers who don't have the skills are like, hey, what would you suggest for this? This is kind of where they'd like to keep it. Help me out, you know?
Right.
And they do have that sense of...
I mean, that's very special.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... it is kind of rare. I mean, like the turnover, that's rare to have that. And it sounds like everybody's really proud of what they're doing. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's nice when you can get everybody in a restaurant working together to understand that it's for the experience. And when... It starts off with, hey, come eat here and see what this is. I mean, it doesn't surprise me in a way that it's working.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, the industry, it's not all sunshine and rainbows and everybody has those bad days. But we've been very fortunate to work with a team that stayed pretty much the same for many, many years. Some have come and come back and... Some
that's
have helped us
nice
open,
too.
Yeah. Some have helped us move and open our sister restaurant that just opened this summer.
What's that?
Boulevard.
Okay.
Mm. So that's up in the Arboretum.
Behind the times here. I don't even know that.
Yeah.
I feel out of place when I have. Well, congratulations.
Mm.
That's very cool to hear. You'll have to tell me more about that. But that gets me to like the people sticking around, like the burnout. You mentioned burnout earlier.
Yeah.
So with that and the restructuring of how the back of the house is run and how you treat, you know, your fellow prep cook prepping carrots, like you don't want to have people burn out. And how do you guys achieve that? And how have you worked this out in your own life?
I mean, I think burnout is tricky. Burnout is tricky in many different ways. There's many different forms of burnout as well. I mean, there's obviously the mental burnout, which at different levels, you know, you have to tackle that in different ways.
Okay.
With our staff, I mean, if you've been with us, you get PTO, you know, and I think there's only one time when I've been like, hey, can you shift it like just a couple days?
Right.
But
you try to accommodate.
Yeah, no, we accommodate. I mean, I have a cook right now who's been with us 5 years. He's out for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you really want to go right now? He's like, yep. And I was like, heard that.
Right.
And then my senior, like my junior Sue was like, hey, I need this weekend off too. And I was like, cool beans, buddy. Right. And then, have a good trip.
Because like, right, it the show will go on.
Yeah.
But you got to step it up during those times when they're both gone. And that can be tricky. But like you have to give people that.
Yeah. And it's a different thing. I mean, I can't, oh my gosh, I don't even have enough fingers, toes, extremities to tell you the stories about how many times I was guilted into giving up my requests off or just my general day off, you know, because the restaurant needed something. Yeah. And, you know, coming from that, again, it's learning your boundaries. It's learning where your line is.
Right.
And I think as cooks who are coming up, we give because that's what's expected of us.
Well, I mean, it's in your nature to want to give a good meal to somebody, enjoy that. So like naturally, it's like part of you to want to make your employer happy too. But it's just so funny because I said, you know, the show will go on. And
that's a sobering notion, isn't it?
The show will go on, but like, it's like, no, you can't take off. We need you.
Yeah.
And then you're guilted into it. But it's always so funny. It's like, do you really?
Yeah.
I know it's nice to have me, but like I need a day off.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to just be, because like we don't know when, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's can get that mental burnout. So if they're requesting the time off, maybe it's a glorious family trip.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a real thing where they're like, look, we need to explain why, but I need it.
Yeah. Depression's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's something that's not talked about, especially in our industry. And so many of us suffer from it, you know, deeply.
Yeah.
And it's been undiagnosed, you know, for many. And they just push through and push through and push through. And when you stand, and this is a different thing too, when you're working in this industry, you're standing next to the same people for 12, 14, 16 hours a day.
Right.
You see them more than your family. You see them more than your significant others, your pets. You can read that person.
Yeah.
You can read that person. And when you see them have a complete shift, you know that they need help. You know that whatever you can give them, whether it's like, hey, you know, we did trades. I have these gift cards. I'm not going to ever use them. Please, on your day off, like take them, go have a day at the spa or go have dinner on me. Please, like it's whatever you can do to help them.
Yeah.
You know, with the PTO is a great thing, but sometimes it's just like, you know what? You want an extra day off this week? I think you could benefit from it, and just seeing the bounce back from that is way more beneficial than the kind of rough day with being down a person is.
Well, you've seen it already. You said like people have come and maybe even gone and come back, and I think that approach is just like the old, you know, treat everyone the way you want to be treated, because at the end of the day, you're working in the culinary field, and like, and then it's in Austin, and like, you might work here, you might work there, but if you're always good, right, it's like a good rule to live by. Mm-hmm. Oh, Chef Allie will give me an extra day here, and like, I want to work for her. I like her. I'll go back to her. Or like, if I see her in this other place, like, I'd be happy to say hi to her. And that's, people need to treat each other like that, not throw fucking pots at them.
Right. I mean, I've gotten in so much shit, you know, from different men I've worked with in the past who are like, you coddle. You're coddling your cooks. I had externs, you know, like they'd be like, why are you coddling them? I was like, you know what? I still have three of them that I talk to this day.
Right.
And I have one of them who's my sous chef.
So like such a, yeah.
Yeah.
So you, in that scenario, yeah, you have the bigger picture, really.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just need a different support system. And I think learning to work with people, you learn to work with many different personalities. And I think you have to adapt to those personalities. And you may be adapting five different ways from Sunday in an hour. You know, some people just want direct instruction. Some people want you to ask about their day. Some people want to have a conversation about something random. Or some people want you to teach them something every day.
Right.
And I've been a firm believer of like, okay, if you want to learn, I'll teach you. And if I myself don't know how to teach you that, I will find somebody to teach you what right. you want to learn if I can't do it. And that's something that I didn't have, you know, and I'm a firm believer. Like, I'm going to give you whatever setup I can to get you to the person that you want to be if it's in my ability to.
Right. Well, that's like a great person to work for, right? Because like people might say, why are you coddling, you know, this mm-hmm. and that. But like at the end of the day, if it's working,
yeah,
what would the problem be?
Yeah.
I was like, well, it doesn't matter. It's all working very well.
Yeah. We're getting to the same location, yeah, you know, with a little less drama.
A little less drama. Right. But it's like, but you're not stern and yelling at people and like, what's the deal?
Yeah. Nobody. I mean, look, we all have our bad days. I will definitely lose it occasionally.
Well, but it's
but
all
yeah, but the... it's all one of those things. It's like, look, if I was out of line, I was like, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I was out of line.
But like then those, you just said like all these different, some people need like a loud voice to be like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
To understand. Because if they constantly get the, oh, this passive, don't do that again. They're like, well, I can do it again.
Yeah.
And then 100%. You need to scare the living shit out of them.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, don't do that again.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting with having a staff that's been there for so long too. Like anybody kind of new that comes in and that will kind of, you know, toe out of line here or there. The other ones are like, oh yeah, you just wait. Go ahead. Keep doing that.
Right. Right.
And all of them are all, they're like, what? You won't do it? And they're like, nah, yeah, man, no.
Oh, like testing the waters yeah, a little bit? Yeah.
Or, you know, going out of order on something,
yeah,
not following a procedure. You know, the senior staff, it's great. It's like a big mentoring system, but they're like, go ahead, see what happens.
Right, right.
So.
Well, it's very cool to see a restaurant like that. So I guess that 5 years going strong, same staff, but so the Arboretum, what is this concept that you guys opened? And did you bring people from ATX?
So Cosina? Yeah, no, Kevin, opened up Boulevard this summer, and it's another Mexican, so that's his whole.
He loves that.
Absolutely, he grew up in a restaurant. His parents owned a couple of Mexican restaurants.
Where's he from?
He's from New Jersey, okay. Philadelphia, New Jersey. So you know, he's been in it his whole life, so this is his love language. It's, you know, what he's the best at, and so he opened up. They took over the old Z-Tejas space. They gutted it out, redid it. It's an extension of ATX Cocina. I mean, it is interior Mexican. It's more wood-fired driven.
Nice.
So they have a lot more on the fire side to offer.
That's fun.
Yeah, but right, it's a beautiful location. That view alone yeah, is just picturesque. It's fantastic. I mean, I'm grateful. I have a beautiful, beautiful box to work in. I have all windows, you know, I get to see sunlight where in a lot of kitchens I didn't.
Are you over there?
No. I'm based out of ATX Cocina. It's my baby.
And that's like, it's deceiving because from Cesar Chavez, right? Is that,
yeah,
it's all dark. It looks dark. It looks like a dark building.
Yeah.
But you don't, when you're inside, it's very bright.
No, there's the entire, so we face the water, for anybody who hasn't been there. We completely face the lake, and we're on the corner of Cesar Chavez and San Antonio.
And it's not easy to, it's not hard to see, but like it blends in well.
Yeah, no, so we're in the North Shore building. We're in the bottom corner of it, but the entire span of the restaurant is all glass.
Right.
It's all glass.
And so it looks dark. It looks reflective.
Yeah, it looks reflective. It looks kind of dark. But when you're in there, I mean, we have, obviously, we pull shades and curtains,
yeah,
you know, to minimize the energy cost, right, of air conditioning that
sure
place.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can only imagine.
But yeah, I mean, it's very nice.
Well, having that's a thing
the
too.
Sunlight.
For mental health, yeah. Like being in a kitchen where, like, here, the carrots, the onions. But if you're doing that in a, like,
in a basement,
what, fluorescent lights, you know, like all day, but there's no windows,
no fresh air.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely in a grandfather coated in basement somewhere.
Right. But that can, like, I don't know, that would bother, you know, yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like you walk outside, I didn't even know it was raining. I had no idea.
Yeah.
No, it's sunny? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it snowed. I mean, we're starting to see more of that, but
it's definitely happened. That's a blessing. It is a blessing for mental health having access to, I mean, you know.
Totally. Is the new spot, is it open too? Is very
Yeah, so you can see into the kitchen. The dining room is, that one's more, I feel like it's more in like blues, more blue and kind of coastal feeling. Yeah. Cool. But no, it's a great, great thing. They're doing great things over there. I'm jealous of the live fire.
Yeah. Did you bring folks over from?
They did. So, okay. John Escamilla and James Limon were both sous at ATX Cocina. Kevin took them over there. So,
okay. John with the like long black hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, the kind of like big Samoan looking guy. Yeah. Mexican Samoan.
And so did they live closer too? Because that would always be like the perfect thing.
Yeah.
We're opening a new place, close to your house, you can get promoted. It's like,
I think they're both south, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but right. It doesn't matter.
That we've already talked. It's
yeah, like, when you get a new kitchen, you're like, yeah, no, I'll drive 45 minutes.
And then 45 minutes, that's it though. Like everywhere at the worst is like 45 minutes. Like with traffic, because like it feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting in Mopac and you're like, this is the worst. It always takes 45 minutes. Yeah. Nothing. It's never that bad.
No.
but it's the whole concept. But yes, yeah, new kitchen, bright, new
shiny, everything's new
ovens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. 5 years old. We're definitely at that. Okay. I don't think we can repair this many more. I think would have save money buying a new unit or
yes. And what's better than new kitchen equipment?
Oh, I mean, man,
not much. I mean, besides just the smell of a new kitchen,
the warranty the warranty's the best part of it.
The Vitamix, those guys have the craziest warranty ever.
Oh man,
like
seeing that's a whole different conversation, but seeing the evolution of how Vitamix like
it's crazy,
it pinnacle, and now I'm like, all right guys, I think you're definitely ship some costs somewhere.
What are they doing now?
Oh, no. Just do you not? I remember the canisters on those things used to be indestructible.
Yeah.
Like it would take like a force.
It's lessened.
It's lessened in some. I mean, the motors are still great.
Well, that was their whole thing. They were like, I think it's like 7 years or something.
Yeah.
They will completely stand by, which is a long
time. It's the motors are still good. I think it's all the accessories that have just really kind of
taken it. It was more of like a culinary industry tool. And then I think it was more accessible to like
the
people,
smoothies,
right? They're like the health concept.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the whole, when I first learned about that, they were flipping on making like a tomato
bisque,
but
yeah,
like making it hot.
Yeah, just like leaving it running.
Right. And like, I don't think a lot of people making smoothies are actually using it for things like that. But it's,
hey, don't underestimate kale, okay? That thing's evil.
Right. I mean, Juiceland, right? Those guys are blowing through. So they've become more accessible, and maybe the quality's gone down a little bit here and there.
Just on the canisters.
Yeah.
But I love everything else about them.
But they've gone, like, there was like the bare bones. It is a whole other conversation. Huh? But like it started, and now there's all these crazy versions. Like there's a big, you know, wide one that does this that. And you're like, yeah,
they're nuts. It's like a RoboCoop where it's like, all right, you have your R2, and then you have your like all metal indestructible one.
Right. And those RoboCoops, super expensive stuff. Great, great.
Fantastic product. Love them to death. But yeah. I mean,
if they break, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you drop some money.
Yeah, you just need to start naming all your equipment after like car brands. It's like, you broke Toyota.
Right,
take it in.
Yeah, totally. So that's very fun. So what else is going on with you? I mean, like you said, you took a break, you know, but like you hop back into.
Yeah, I came back to the company. I took a little break. I had
what was,
you know, grandeur plan of, you know, I was like, you know what? No, I'm just going to retire. It's going to be great.
Really?
Yeah.
You were thinking that.
I was thinking that. I was definitely.
You're so young. You can't retire. I want to retire. I'm going to start thinking like that.
I being a workaholic and, yeah. Oh, man. Boy, am I ever.
But what, when you think retirement, because no one, I think, thinks retirement, sit on my ass.
No.
Like, what would the plan be? What would you want to do?
Like, I was going to have like some offer cooking classes, you know, yeah. Make my own schedule.
I mean, I think
something,
that's cool.
Yeah. Just something very chill, you know, nothing crazy.
Chill, fun. Chill.
Actually see my spouse, yeah. Actually hang out in my house. I mean, we.
Is that a problem? Like with work?
I mean, yeah.
Because you guys open at 5.
Yeah.
And so. People could look at that and just be like, well, you got the whole day.
Yeah.
But you never have the night.
No.
And you probably don't have the whole day.
No, not at all. I mean, you cook because you love it, but nobody sees the work that it takes to get everything out at the level that we want it to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a perfect world, you go in at like 10 and it takes all of that time to get ready for service.
What time are you getting home?
After service ends,
right? So just, in that's a perfect like world, undefined so answer.
11:30 midnight.
Yeah.
Most times, right. Most days.
Is your partner in the not
no,
in any kind of?
He's not in the industry at all. So he's a very, I mean, accounting's best term for that. I mean, yeah. Normal 9 to 5.
Well, let's like Pat. Round of applause for him for sticking it out. And like, how's that work for you guys? I mean, because that's great. Yeah. It's always great when there's...
100%. I love the fact that he's not in the industry. I mean, a lot of people say that you can't have a relationship outside of it. He was with me from the beginning. So he's been on this roller coaster
that's
with me.
Cool. Yeah.
He's seen the ups, he's seen the downs, you know, he's ridden it. So... He definitely does struggle with that. I mean, he would like me home a lot more.
Right. That would be the struggle, right?
It is.
You want to have date night.
It's the number one contention in us. It's the frustration of, oh, hey, so-and-so wanted to do this. Can you? Oh, that's not on a Wednesday. You know, right. My day off. He's like, oh, so-and-so wanted to grab dinner. And I'll be like, I really don't know if I can do that.
Right.
And he's gotten to the point, he's like, here, it's like 3 weeks out. Do you think you can ask for this? And you know, It's making that effort with each other, you know, making those like, okay, this really isn't an option. I really need you. I need you here. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. Building that schedule, working together with it. It's a struggle. Anybody who's not in it, it's hard for them to grasp.
I mean, yeah.
It's very hard for them
That's
to grasp.
That's why, like, good job on him. And the, like, you're like ham and cheese when you go home, right, sometimes. But do you spoil him with food occasionally?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. When
That's
I came,
how you keep him around, right?
It's like. It's definitely his perk. Right. I mean, it's one of those, it's like, he knows, it's like, he does most of the cooking at home.
Oh, he does?
He does.
Okay.
Yeah. I come home, I'm fried. I'm absolutely fried. You're lucky if I can.
And how is he in the kitchen?
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's actually really good. He's always been a bit of a foodie.
Okay.
So he just like absorbs anything that he can. And
that sounds like a very good match.
He's a great person. He's the calm to my crazy.
That's cool.
He's definitely the left brain, you know, numbers, analytical. Okay. Calm. Right. He completely shifted my personality when we got together. I came from a very loud family,
yeah.
You know, being Hispanic. And I remember the first time we got in an argument, he was like, yeah, okay. He's like, so we can talk about this as much as you want as soon as you lower your voice and come to a calm.
And you were like totally receptive to that? Just had to be like a learning curve.
That took about 2 years of a learning curve before I realized, you know, actually he's right, you know.
Yeah.
You know, coming to the logical side of things. And that approach has helped me in my career.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times people are, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the cooler heads prevail approach is always, like, you need that person.
You need the person. I think it's frustrating for people who are higher strung, you know, they're like, you're being rude. I'm like, I'm not. I'm just trying to, let's look at this as logically as we can. You're feeling real strong about this. So how do we kind of between two, and it can be misinterpreted.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It can be completely misinterpreted, but
I mean, that is a struggle. Like, if you keep cool, that can be completely read as this person does not care about this situation.
Absolutely.
And that's what's like, I mean, I've experienced a similar thing. And it's like, because I've always just been a little chill, but that can be, and it's been a struggle where it's like, I actually am passionate about this and care. I'm not freaking out and running around like a chicken with my head cut off. That doesn't mean I don't care.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to fix this logically, you know, with looking at it from everything. Yeah. I'm grateful for him for that, because without that, I'd be the crazy.
Well, it's like you've got that in you, right? Because you came from that. So that's probably how your mind is thinking. It's going, but then you're able to like step back and like logically, and I'm sure you're very good at it. Problem solving.
I appreciate it. Like, it is a great thing. It has been probably one of the biggest blessings he's given me.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's fantastic. I don't know how he puts up with me. I don't at all.
Well, so do you guys do date nights and stuff?
Yeah,
still?
We'll still do date nights. It'll kind of be like one of those. He'll be like, all right, so we make jokes. We obviously we have like our little hole in the walls that we like really like.
Well, I mean, and I so guess we can like, hop into this because I do have a segment here called What Are You Eating? And don't mind me, Troy's not here, so I have to get some photos. What are you eating, right? So, and I guess because we're naturally hopping into this.
Yeah, no. I mean, he is a taco fiend, 100%.
That works well too.
It's great. It's fantastic. I tend to like really deeper, like soulful dishes, like when I'm eating. So like soha, like Korean, because it's a late night spot. Like that is my jam.
That's it. That's
that is my jam.
Like, what time do you, are they open?
Yeah.
How late?
The kitchen's open till 1:00.
Oh, perfect.
And I think they're closed Mondays or Tuesdays, but their kitchen's open till 1:00. They're open till 2:00. So if you want it quieter, just sit outside on the patio and you don't have as much K-pop going on in the background. But usually I'm like amped. I'm coming out of a service and I'm just like, grr, I need food. I haven't eaten. I haven't fed myself. You know, so it's like go there. It's like get some really, really, really good food and just sit there and catch
comfort
up.
Food.
Yeah. Comfort That's food. That's my biggest thing.
I'm a firm believer that the reason it's called Taco Tuesday is because all the good taco spots are closed on Monday, right?
That's fair. I've actually never looked at it that way, but that makes total sense.
It's true, Or it could just be the two T's. I don't know. But it's true.
Right? No, 100%. I can't tell you how many times where it's, you know, it's like, oh, I want this. I'm like, they're closed on Monday.
It's so bad because like a lot of times if you're in the industry, you're closed on Monday a lot of times too. You know what I mean? So what are some other gems for you guys? Where do you guys go for? Because I like to look at this segment as like people a lot of times are getting hungry listening to this. Usually I am. It's earlier today. Usually I'm getting really hungry talking to a chef all for an hour. But what are some other gems? That's a good one.
Yeah, Soha's a good one. That's kind of like my basic. I mean, it depends on who's coming from what side of town as well. Yeah,
that's always a factor.
So I lived off of Far West Boulevard for many years.
Far West
and Mopac.
Yeah.
There is like the best little taco spot in the gas station.
See?
Yeah, it's called Tacos Ivan.
Okay.
And literally, I think the son opened it. The mom will just sit at the plancha. Like she has a little bitty stool and she just sits at that tiny little plancha and she's just throwing tortillas on the plancha. And barking orders to, I think, her daughter, who's making everything. Great. And that was, like, our number one. Like, every Sunday morning, Cole would get up at the break of dawn, and he'd go and pick up, like, all the tacos and flautas and whatever special, because they'll run just, like, a random one.
Nice.
And you just get the special plate. So if his office, he works for Roku, so he's still in that area.
Roku.
So he'll go and he'll be like, I'm just going to get tacos. How many do you want? So he'll bring those home still, which is great. Depending on if we want to be like fancy or just like
what are those
lazy
ones?
As people fancy. I really enjoy kanji. Like Tavel's done a fantastic job with that. That has quickly kind of become like our comfort. Like I don't mind looking completely busted going in there.
Right.
Like, you know, mostly put together, but I don't have to be like dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
that's a really fun, just like easy, nice dinner.
I mean, I've not been. I just interviewed Chef Alfred from mm-hmm. over there, and that's not aired yet, but I'm sure it will be. So this will all be. I'm so excited. Like, I ate at Emmer and Rye.
Yeah.
Little R&D there. And it was so good. I just can't imagine how the congee's got to be great. I've only heard good things. Yeah.
No, they've done great, great work out there. I mean, you always have the big hitters. You know, I love going to Emmer. I worked for John Carver when I came back to work. I helped open Jay Carver's Shop House.
Okay.
I was there with him. So, I mean, Red Ash is always, you know,
yeah,
that's always nice.
I've not been there.
No.
There's a tons of places I haven't been to, yeah, which everybody thinks I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere.
You have been everywhere. You've been in everybody's kitchen.
I've talked to a bunch of people in a bunch of their kitchens, but I've not eaten the food. Yeah. But I've been present for a family meal from you. And like, look, family meal is one thing, you know, when people are doing it. But like, when it's like you've been talking, you know, that's a community, a place. And I always would love it. It was like, I remember it was on a cold day and you had made something. I can't quite remember what it was, but I just remember it was so good.
Oh,
and
thank
it was
you.
Like that whole comforting, like, ah, I needed that so bad.
Yeah. Sure
that's what you want to bring to people.
Yeah.
It's like unknowingly, I don't even know if you remember that, but I totally, it was like a hit spot best. You know what I mean?
Dude, you have to feed. You have to take care of everybody who comes in the kitchen, just not just your staff.
Totally.
I mean, we have so many vendors that are in there. I mean, we've, you know, so many. I can't tell you how many. Adam, it's a great example. When we were opening Carver's, I was the first one in the morning. And I used to make oatmeal. It's just kind of like my morning thing.
I think it was oatmeal.
It was probably oatmeal. Yeah, I used to, like, steel cut oats.
It was really good.
Yeah, my electrician, like, got to the point where they were weirded out. I was like, are you guys hungry? And they're like, I'm like, it's food, guys. Like, stop looking at me weird. It's food. Sure. Are you hungry? Like, right. I'll feed you.
I mean, exactly, right?
Yeah. And so all of them got used to it. Like, the one day, like, I had a day off.
He didn't have the
food. There wasn't oatmeal. And Adam was like, Adam texted me. He's like, where's the oatmeal?
Where's the oatmeal?
I was like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm off today. He goes, oh, John looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, sorry.
It was definitely oatmeal. I was like thinking it was oatmeal. I was like, it couldn't have been oatmeal. But it was like, yeah, it was oatmeal.
Oh, man. You do it right. It's super satisfying and super homey.
And like, we've seen the weather plummet now. Yeah. And like, there's nothing like a nice warm bowl of something. Yeah. Like, anything but oatmeal definitely hits the spot.
Like, I'm a soup person, like 100%.
Oh, my God.
Like,
so good.
Yeah. Like, congee right now, I'm like, oh, my God. I just, yes, let me make all the porridge. I want to make all the toles, like all the soups. I mean, we're working on bringing one onto the menu right now. So I can't tell you, all my girls are drinking the broth.
Yeah, well, that's like, so like it can be so healthy too. Yeah. Like it's such a like nourishing thing to make like a good broth. Like that's like.
I think it's so underestimated how travel effective it is. I mean, you walk around with a pint container.
And it will hold longer.
It'll hold,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, it can be lukewarm and it's still just as satisfying.
Right.
You know?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, especially when it's cold.
Yeah.
Right? And then at the worst case, it's gazpacho at the end. It's like, fuck, I'll drink
it. It's fine. It'll be fine.
Right. So cool. Those are some good killer spots. I need to get over to congee. We do have another segment here. I'm trying to remember if I've been to your bathroom at ATX. I can't remember. But it's called Potty Talk.
Nice.
And we, until it's actually happening, we jokingly say it's sponsored by Buc-ee's, but what are your
favorite? Those are some nice bathrooms.
Yes. What are your favorite bathrooms that you've been into in Austin or like anything that, and we've heard the good, the bad, the ugly. So whatever comes to mind.
No, I got to like really think about that. I will say and I'm not just prejudiced because I work there, but
right.
Probably the most mesmerizing was Jay Carver's because for anybody who's like an avid reader, like the old books that had like the Italian paper on the inside, you just see that swirly pattern. The entire,
that's cool.
Yeah. From
the wallpaper.
Mm-hmm. The wallpaper is like this teal and gold and it's just swirled and it goes from the wainscoting all the way up and on the ceiling.
Wow.
So it's just like, you know, super, and it's, you know, obviously moody lighting in there. you should go. It's an experience. But yeah, the doors are painted the same teal color, so it's just kind of warm.
Yeah, yeah.
And just trippy.
Sure. I mean, bathrooms are becoming a thing, right? Like the Instagrammable bathroom.
I did not realize it. Hi, I'm so sorry. I'm not getting your
attention. I know, Finn. Thank you for loving Finn during the pod.
He's a sweetheart. No, like it's, I didn't realize there was an Austin Instagrammer who she literally just goes around and rates bathrooms.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I
will find it on her. I follow her because it was like a random thing.
I gotta bring her on for potty talk.
Yeah. She goes through and she does like all the bars and all of the hotel bathrooms. And then
the hotels are like, those are the top notch ones.
Those are nice. I mean, well, you have an entire team dedicated just to keeping those pristine.
Right. This segment started with the old 1000 bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Because
the wallpaper there.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. I'm trying to think. I have a couple.
And then people cop out and say Buc-ee's, but you can't say Buc-ee's. Everybody knows.
I mean, Buc-ee's is Buc-ee's.
Like, Buc-ee's is
Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's was an institution because of the bathroom.
That's how, right? That's the origin story.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of like restaurants. I mean, interesting. It kind of cusps on maybe like a tiny bit uncomfortable, but it's still nice, is Clark's Oyster Bar.
Okay.
It makes you feel a little claustrophobic because it's like all the white subway tile and it's like super narrow and you feel like you're peeing in the server station. But you're still like, I mean, it's nice, but everybody's in the server station. They can hear me. That's kind of weird.
Right, right. Clark's is... a McGuire Mormon thing, right?
Yeah.
I was always MMH, but now it's not that. It's like MML.
It's like MMG and or Lambert, something like that. Yeah.
MMGLB. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's McGuire Mormon.
Yeah.
People know what you're talking about. But those guys have done a spectacular job at like just completely taking over Austin.
Yeah.
They're in every corner. And the thing is, I wouldn't say this if they were just everywhere, unless they're doing everything pretty well.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. But like what concept is like just bad? Like everything is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as a...
What are they? It's a restaurant group.
A hospitality group.
Yeah.
They're definitely in a lot of different places.
I mean, I've heard, so there's good and bad.
Yeah, I think like, there's good and bad of everything.
If, sure.
Yeah.
I've heard some bad about like the actually working with the group itself.
Yeah, same. That's not a group that I would.
Yes. But I've heard that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because like on a consumer's side without being in, like knowing anything, you just wouldn't know that side of it. You would just think, oh, Perlis, great place. Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Street, awesome. You know, it's like, sure.
I think the perk about Austin, you know, it's getting there, but I mean, we're still a small city at heart. Everybody has worked everywhere and everybody has worked with everybody at this point.
And that's the whole scratch your back, give them a day off
because
you're
going to
see them in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to see their brother and their cousin.
Right.
And, but no, I think we've all worked with people who have worked in those kitchens and front of house and management.
Yeah.
And so I think we've all heard the stories. We all know. And again, it's knowing your boundaries.
Yeah.
What you're willing to be compensated for.
Right.
What you're willing to put up with day in and day out. And it's just where your lines are.
I mean, we've not like outright said anything negative. We've implied it, but like you would think with a group that with that big a standing and like the kind of like a reputation that we're hinting towards, that they would make like some changes. And I don't know if they
I think they have shifted some things around. I think with their restructuring, that's like, helped a little bit. Okay. I think they also are of a mindset where their clientele hasn't shifted. Mm-hmm. They're in some of the most traffic tourist areas.
Well, their clientele is everything in Austin.
Yeah. So I feel like they're thinking of if it's not broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. I think their bottom line definitely doesn't give them cause for worry.
And I think this goes back to what we were originally talking about is like, that's part of the problem of like, because like people need to be treated fairly.
Yeah.
And you can't just work somebody 80 hours and like you know, like, oh, no, you can't take that day off because we really need you. It's like, let's have some respect for these people because, like, nobody wants to see somebody burn out.
Right. And it's a scary thing. And I think it's in this industry, I think they expect burnout in, like, the management, which is frightening. Right. You know, they just, by the time you make it to management, you're already at some level of burnout. I think the clinical thing is it takes 4 years to recover from burnout.
Wow.
Is, I believe, what I was quoted. They're like, if you have a true, like, true burnout, depressive, you know, disassociation, all of that going into it pretty hard, it takes 4 years to kind of get over the triggers and traumas of that.
I mean,
and
I
work would, towards a healthier.
I would take that number seriously because I was told, I mean, I'm a divorced father, but like I was told when I was getting a divorce that it would take me 2 years, right, to like get over this. And I was like, no, no way. Because I'm the one who's initiating this. Like, trust me. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 years. Like, it felt like to the day, but like I wasn't timing it. But I was like, that really did take 2 years to kind of get over that and like get back. And then like still, it was a still ongoing process. So that wouldn't surprise me because like, I mean, you could say burnout and it just sounds like, well, whatever. But like what you just said, like that's...
There's many different forms. And I think that's something if you're even kind of feeling, you know, a little bit off, I can't stress this enough. Like, please, there's so many different resources for us now. Reach out. Just having somebody to talk to that's not embedded in, I mean, yeah, it's easy to go to the bar and, you know, vent, but venting with another substance isn't the answer.
Right.
You know, it just kind of leads into a snowball thing, which is where many of us find ourselves.
Yeah.
But having somebody to speak to rationally, who's not in the trenches with you, so to speak,
right,
is going to be very beneficial to you in the long run. It's going to help you get over some of those hurdles or, you know, the disassociation you're feeling, the stress you're feeling, the anxiety you're feeling, the depression that comes in. And there's so many different things. There's high functioning anxiety and high functioning depression now, which people are like, oh, that's such a weird thing. And then you actually read the lists. I mean, I can't tell you the first time I actually went into counseling and I thought, I was like, hey, like I'm ADHD. And she's like, you're also a list of all these other things. Right. And I was like, no. And she's like
doing the grind, thinking that's how life
is. You think this is normal. And you get to these places and, you know, looking at it, you're like, no, you're crazy. And then you actually physically take the time, look at these, you know, symptoms and you're like, oh.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we're in a different time, you know, it's learning to cope in healthier ways,
right?
Which I think we've had many chefs who have been fantastic. I mean, Sasha Grumman's fantastic about, you know, talking about her struggles and, you know, giving up drinking. Philip Spear, you know, same thing, like finding different outlets. And not to say like I'm, you know, I still have the occasional drink, but finding vices that are going to be less destructive to myself. It's a big thing for people now.
And that what Philly is doing, like that whole, like that's geared towards sobriety. Mm-hmm. But I think that like that should be accessible to, like there's HERD as well. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that is more like mental health, which that applies to anybody really. I mean, there's very serious forms of that, but like having that at your disposal, right? Because it is important.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean, we're looking at a new chapter where people are like I love what he's doing because it's all related, like the post-shift stuff.
Yeah. And
it's all very much like this is directly related to how tough this job is. You know what I mean?
It's smart.
It's very smart.
Very, very smart.
It shows you care about people because like you, I mean, like just saying it, here's the carrots come back. Yeah, you know, after years of like, it's demeaning.
Yeah.
Even if it's not meant to be, it's like we need the carrots bad. Let's go. And like, but like, really, it's like you're nothing. You're just somebody who's going to cut carrots. You might as well be a machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody wants to treat somebody like that.
Nobody wants to be that.
And you don't want to treat somebody like that. Mm-mm. Like if you're unknowingly doing it, and then also you don't want to be treated like that. So. Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's Herd, there's Phil, what is the Sasha? Who's?
Oh, Sasha Grumman. So she's a fantastic chef out of Houston.
Okay.
She was here in Austin for a little while, but I mean, she's on a sobriety journey right now too. But yeah. You know, she's open about all of her struggles and what she kind of went through using alcohol as a coping mechanism, and then mental health more than anything is aligning her mental health
right. And
finding what she needs to do. So she's been a great, great voice for the culinary industry.
Those are like the best people what is it like about people who like fuck up their lives and then they get back on track? They're like the best people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, I mean, I, unfortunately, it goes back to that whole like watching a train wreck. You know, you can't, okay. All of us have, again, small industry. We've all worked with each other, you know, in some capacity or another. And you hear all these stories. You're like, oh man, did you hear so-and-so go off the rails, man? Did you hear what they did at the bar the other day? Right. And you're like, dang. But, you know, everybody loves a hero story. Everybody loves a comeback story.
That's
so
true.
Anybody who's willing to do the work, you know, you're going to root for them. You're going to be their cheerleader.
And then I guess also, like, it doesn't matter how it looks on the surface, everybody is struggling in some way, shape, or form. So if somebody really bites the bullet and then they're open about it, I guess they're like, what did they do? How did they fix themselves? Hold on, let me hear more of this.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm fucked up.
I know all of us are sitting here going like, all right, is there like a link to that after this?
Exactly, yeah. Right? And it's like, and now, yes, maybe. You know what I mean? And we should see more of that. I mean, I think that's important. It's really nice to have you on here.
Thank you. We've
been trying to do it for a long time.
I know. No, I remember, you know, I heard they're like, yeah, they want to talk to you. I was like, wow, this is only like 4 years late. We finally got to this.
I know. I was like, so Dish and Dames, right?
Yeah.
So you were recently featured on there?
I was actually year two, I believe.
Okay,
so it's been time. Lorena is a fantastic friend. She's amazing. Dish and Dames, that's a fantastic thing that she's doing. And that's just her hobby.
I know.
I just look at her, I'm like, man, you're a superwoman.
I really, shout out to Lorena. And I really wish that she could do... She's welcome to do more of these. Send people my way. I always want. I want her to have her own podcast.
She would be fantastic at that. I mean, she's
totally.
She has so many stories.
Yes,
she's such a wealth of like.
Well, and also she's meeting and highlighting folks like yourself, and it's like, to me, that's like a wonderful opportunity to stretch out the conversation. You know what I mean? And like, see what else is going on.
Yeah. She's got a great pulse. She's like got a pulse on the city right now.
And I love the caliber of like what's produced, like the videos you get. It's all so cool and it's important. It's fun to watch.
It's fantastic. Being a part of that, I think that was actually one of the first times I'd actually been I myself had been highlighted as a chef, and having someone that warm and patient walk you through the process, because it can be really intimidating.
Sure.
You know, having somebody up in your space trying to film you. And if you're not used to a camera crew at all, right, or microphones, it is daunting.
Yeah.
It can really give you some anxiety about it. But she works with people that she herself trusts and loves. So there's that sense of kind of compassion in that. And then she walks you through. She's like, all right, this is what's going to be expected. This is what our end goal is. And these are the kind of points that we want to highlight on. So what is going to work best for you in your natural environment to get to these things?
Well, if anybody's doing it, it should be her.
Yeah.
Because she is inviting and it sounds like it. So
yeah. No, but she's done wonders for the female chef community.
I mean,
all across Texas.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think it's amazing, and yeah, she's awesome. But yeah, thank her for setting this up for us. And it has been long overdue. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Absolutely.
I hope Chef Kevin is doing well.
Tell him
I said hello.
I'm sure he'll be like. I'm sure he'll want to come talk to you. I know he's
been, always welcome.
He's been jumping on the gun for that one, so I'll let him know.
Yeah, you guys are always welcome to come back. And don't be a stranger anytime.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.